Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." Well, Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "The child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Mary and Joseph followed the law of Moses and brought Jesus to the temple to offer the necessary offerings for a firstborn son and for Mary's purification as well. Of course, while there, something unexpected happened. Sometimes when you're following God, I did a seniors luncheon and we just talked about that a little bit there, that sometimes you're following God's plan, everything's going amazing in God's plan, but unexpected things still happen. And because we don't always expect it. And here is Simeon who takes baby Jesus and begins to prophesy. Two people, Simeon and Anna, prophesied and spoke about this baby Jesus. And I wanted to take a few moments just to focus on Simeon and some of the things he said. So let's just take a minute and a few minutes here. And I want to just talk about Simeon himself, because there's a description. Luke takes the time to describe Simeon himself. Notice this about Simeon, that's the description here. First of all, Simeon was righteous. Now, if you're a good Jewish person, you understood that no one's righteous. We all need to make sacrifices for their sin by bringing that lamb or that goat, and that happened on a regular basis. So when they say Simeon was righteous, they meant that he followed the law of Moses, and he worked very hard at following God's ways. And so he was living right according to God's standard. And we know Romans 3:23, Paul writes that God has this glorious standard, this holy standard, that we all fall short from. Every one of us falls short of this standard. That's why it was necessary, of course, for God to send Jesus to free us from slavery of sin so that we can live for God in a relationship from him. But we can see here that Simeon lived righteous, and I think that's a quality we could use to follow and pattern after. I see Simeon as a pattern we can follow. So first of all, he's righteous. The next thing I notice is that they call him devout. Simeon was devout, or he was devoted. He was devoted to follow God. I don't know who you look at and call devoted. Hopefully you can look at your spouse and say they're devoted to you, right? I don't know if I'm into basketball a little bit. LeBron James is devoted. Some of you guys who know basketball, some of you people might know LeBron James. So he's 34, 35 years of age, playing for the Lakers right now. One of their most important players for the Lakers, and he's at the end of the age for when you do a good job at playing basketball. Many people don't get to 35 and play basketball. And he is one of their key players, and MVP probably is what they're looking at right now. I mean, he's devoted, right? No? It's basketball. Who cares? So my brother is devoted to hunting. I mean, this guy. Okay, so many of you know I go hunting in the fall, but I am not devoted to hunting. I'm just not. I don't read it all the time in the magazines. I don't look at the new thing. I don't try to find something new to hunt. I'm just not that devoted. My brother is devoted. I get all sorts of emails from him. He's devoted to hunting. He does all kinds of it. He loves it. And so lots of people are devoted to sports teams. You ever notice this, that the Blue Jays are playing? And it doesn't matter what city they're playing in. There are people that are just flying there and spending time there and going there and watching them all and being at the there's just people devoted to sports. I'm not going to even ask how many of you guys have to watch every game your sports team is playing, because that might be somewhat devoted, although you may not be picking up in a plane and flying to every city they're at. Some people are very devoted. Lots of people are devoted to their work. They seem to always be there, and even when they're not there, they're spending time doing it. At home, at work, wherever they're at, it's about their work. Some people are devoted to pleasure. A lot of people are devoted to pleasure. They spend a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of focus and a lot of everything for pleasure. I like Simeon. He's devoted to God. He pours his energy, his time, his resources, his skills into the object of his devotion, his Lord, his God. And I want you and I want the people of Kingston Gospel Temple to be devoted to God. There's a lot of things in this world that it's easy to be devoted to. Some of you might be devoted to sleep. Some of you might be devoted to food. But let's be devoted to God, pouring all our time and energy and resources and skill to the object of your devotion, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I noticed this about Simeon in this description. He had a close relationship to God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon him, it says, and the Spirit led him to the temple on that day. Simeon understood the importance of a close relationship with God through his Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that when we accept Jesus into our life and believe in him to follow him, that God puts his Holy Spirit in you. So the Holy Spirit dwells in every person who believes and accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. But I just want you to know that the Holy Spirit is not to be meant as a silent partner or an observer. He's not in you in order to sit back and just watch how you live, or to observe, or to be a quiet partner. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:6, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind, or letting your Spirit control your mind, leads to life and peace. See, the Holy Spirit's there to lead, not to watch. Right? And Simeon understood that the Spirit of God was to lead his life and guide his life. Galatians 5:25, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of your life. So I encourage you to be like Simeon and let the Holy Spirit take the lead and follow the Holy Spirit. There's one other one that I see in here that's interesting. Simeon was looking for the Messiah's coming. Simeon was looking for the Messiah's coming. Well, some people in his day, in Jesus' day, were looking for the Messiah, but I'm guessing a lot of the Jewish population wasn't. A lot of the Jewish population wasn't probably looking for the Messiah's coming. I mean, the prophecies about him were a long time ago, and life had gone on for generations without Jesus or that Messiah ever coming. In fact, there were 400 years that were quite quiet, and there was no real revelation from God. However, I like Simeon, when so many people maybe didn't think about Messiah coming, here's Simeon hoping and waiting and looking for the coming of Messiah. I wonder if we live in that day where a lot of people now are just looking at Christianity as more of a reformation thing, where God's just going to make us better and better as we follow him, and not necessarily looking for the Messiah's coming. But Simeon gives us an example that we should be looking for his coming. You see, we've also been given a promise. There was this promise that Simeon was looking for to happen in his day, but we have a promise for us in our day. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, there's a whole bunch of people who just watch Jesus go up in this cloud and disappear. He just goes up and ascends and disappears in the cloud, and this whole group on the mountain are just kind of going, well, what would you do if you saw somebody all of a sudden lift out of the, you know, we're all here today and we're all talking today, and all of a sudden my friend Ray just starts to elevate and just kind of goes right up through. What all you guys going to do? Just, right? We're kind of stunned. And an angel shows up when Jesus goes up. An angel shows up and says, you know, men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken away from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. And so we also have this promise, the promise of Jesus returning. Amen. Paul writes a letter to a leader named Titus. And he summarizes this pattern of life that I've been talking about at least most of it, as he talks to Titus in chapter 2. And you'll hear what I've been talking about in this passage that he writes in Titus 2, 11 through 13. It says, "For the grace of God has been revealed," that's Jesus, "bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living," that's to live righteous. "We are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom and righteousness and devotion to God," right? "While we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed." He's coming back. And so Simeon gives us this beautiful pattern and beautiful example of how to live for God. But let me talk a little bit about what he said. What he said to the people. Just a couple of things in what he said. When Simeon was holding Jesus, he looked up to God and he said, "I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people." I have seen your salvation. Jesus is the salvation for all people. Many Jewish people of that day believed Messiah would come to bring earthly salvation from their enemies, salvation from Rome in that day, and set up a physical or an earthly dynasty where the nation of Israel would rule through this king, a descendant of David. And the prophecies in Old Testament do talk about that day that would come. But Simeon's words pointed to a more heavenly, a more spiritual deliverance than just this earthly one that the Jews would have looked for. And Joseph heard about this too, because when he was in his dream and the angel was warning him and telling him to take Mary as his wife, the angel said this in Matthew 1:21, "She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." He didn't say save his people from Rome. He said save his people from their sins. So the coming of Jesus Christ is for the salvation of all people. Interestingly, this is in the Old Testament. Quite a few places in the Old Testament. But I'll name one. You won't hear me say them all. You don't want to spend that long. Isaiah 49:6 says this. He says, God says, "You will do more than restore the people of Israel to me." So you just need to hear that God sent Jesus to restore the people of Israel to him. Amen? So if you're hearing any messages out there that says God is not restoring the people of Israel or has forsaken them, that's a wrong message. That's not true. Because the prophecies will tell you that he's going to restore Israel. "You will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." So we know that the apostles taught there is no other way to be reconciled to God except through his son, Jesus Christ. It's the only way. His work on the cross is payment for our sins. We are called to believe and accept Jesus and his work and turn from our sin to receive God's forgiveness and be reconciled. This is why we celebrate Christmas. This is what Christmas is all about. A baby that was born, but not just a baby that was born. God who came into this world, not just to show us who he is or show his love for us, but to save us from the brokenness and the sinfulness and the bondage of this world. But Simeon gets into that a little bit as he talks to us more about that. Because he says this. He says that Jesus is a light to reveal God to the nations. That's what he says as he's talking. He's a light to reveal God to the nations. And if you look through the scripture, you'll find this metaphor in a number of places that God is the light, but that there is darkness in the world. And God came through Jesus as the light to pierce the darkness, to break the darkness in our lives. And so there's this idea of light and darkness. You'll read it in the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. You'll read it there. "The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." Amen? So you hear that metaphor, but sometimes we'll look at the metaphor and not really get a picture of what that means. But there's a place in Acts where Paul is standing before this king called King Agrippa. And Paul is telling King Agrippa his testimony. You know the place where Paul is going to Damascus to persecute Christians, and Jesus shows up and blinds him, and we hear that story and how his life is changed. Well, Paul is actually telling King Agrippa what happened. And as he's telling that story, he tells us what Jesus said to him. And I think that's really neat, that here's Paul telling us, as well as King Agrippa, what Jesus actually said to him that changed his life. And he said this to King Agrippa, and we get to hear what Paul said in Acts 26, verses 17 and 18. He said, "Yes, Paul," Jesus is speaking, "yes, I am sending you, Paul, to the Gentiles to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light." And here's the definition: from the power of Satan to God. That's darkness to light, the power of Satan to God. "Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people, who are set apart by faith in me." You see, the darkness is the power of Satan. We don't look in our world, and there's so much in our world that's broken, so much in our world that's wicked, so much in our world that's evil. And there are some that would say, why is God doing this? Well, God's not doing it. It's the power of Satan, right, that's doing it. It's the power of Satan. And so we need to see that God, Jesus came to take us from the power of Satan and turn us to God. And we might look and say, well, that's great, Jesus came, but why did he have to come as a human being to do that? Why did he have to die on a cross to do that? Like, that, how does that work? Well, you know what? I find the scripture explains things to us so wonderfully. So there's this place in Hebrews 2 where the writer of Hebrews is telling us, well, this is why. So let me share that with you. Because God's children are human beings. How many of you here today are human beings? So anybody of you, if you're not having your hand up, you probably should talk to me. There's something going on in there we got to work on. We're all human beings. And because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil. See, do we hear this? Jesus had to come in human form because only in human form could he die. And only by dying could he break the power that the enemy has over human flesh. And because he became human, and because he lived in this earth, and because he died on that cross for us, he broke the power that Satan has over us, the power of death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. And so it tells us that because Satan had the power of death. So let me come back to what John was saying in his gospel, because I read a little bit about John saying darkness and light. Because John continues a little bit, and he says this in John chapter 1, verse 9 and 12. "The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, is coming into the world. He came into the very world he created. The world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God." But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. I so encourage you to understand why God sent Jesus, to understand why Jesus lived here and died here, to break the power of sin and evil and Satan in your life and set you free to live what he has created every person to live in, a righteous way, in a holy way, in a pure way, apart from evil and wickedness and sin. So Simeon spoke to Mary and Jesus, telling them that their son Jesus was that Messiah to come and that he was the way of salvation for all people, foretold to be the light for all nations. We can see, according to John's gospel, that it is possible to reject the light. And I think that's a concern I need to bring to you. That it is possible to see Jesus and to reject him. It is possible to know that light, to see that light, to understand and hear of that light, and yet not accept that light. See, Simeon actually finished by sharing something specifically with Mary, and I highlighted the part I want you to see as I read this verse. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, and many others to rise." Here's what I've highlighted. "He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul." He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. That is our world today, still. It's been over 2,000 years, and it's still happening. He is still a sign from God. He is still the only way of salvation. He is still the one who brings the only light that sets you free from sin and evil. He is still the one, still the only one, and still so many oppose. And maybe there's a little something that was once in your heart that wanted to oppose. And maybe you could go back in your own testimony, in your own history of following God or finding out about Jesus, and you can remember the moments and times where you resisted. I've even heard testimonies from time to time over the years how people said, "I resisted following God for..." Don't be proud of that. It's just not a good thing. It's a thing to be said in humbly and repentance. Do not oppose his light. Do not oppose him. Love those who do, because Jesus loves those who oppose him. You notice that in the scriptures? Do you notice that in Jesus' practice? He loves those who oppose them. And you're going to run across people that oppose Jesus. You're going to come and you're going to find people opposing Christianity and being upset and angry and bitter towards Christianity. I'll tell you, if they hate Christianity, if they hate Christians, and if they hate God, hating them for it doesn't win them to Jesus. Loving the enemy, as God says, loving and blessing, that's the only thing that would reach them. Let Jesus be the light. And if you're here today and you're not sure, and you're not sure about Christ and Christianity, just hear the words this morning and talk to God, and he'll help you understand that he loves you and that he is real, and his Jesus is the one who can save you from Satan's power. Don't oppose him. Amen? So as I close this off and give you a nice early Sunday morning, my hope and my prayer for you today is that you are one that would believe and accept Jesus Christ, this beautiful child who was born for us, our Savior, and that you would turn from your sins, that you would live righteously, live devoted. Amen? Live close to the Holy Spirit's leading and expect his return, because that's the day he ushers in this pure, holy, righteous living with him, where we don't have to fight and battle sin anymore. Amen. Stand with me together as we close this in prayer. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Because I just want to give opportunity for anyone here to respond to what Jesus might be saying to you, what God might be saying to you. And if you're here today and in your heart you know that you're not really living the way God has asked you to live. You know how it said in Titus that we need to accept his salvation and that we need to turn from the sin and the evil of this world and live righteously. And you're here today and you're saying, "I want to turn and follow God. I want to be devoted to the Lord and follow him." So you just raise your hand before God and say, I'm going to be devoted, Pastor. I just want the Lord to know that it's my heart to be righteous and devoted before God and follow him. Just raise your hand and let God see that. Yes, 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 yes. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Perhaps you're here today, and thank you for raising your hands, but if you're here today and you're saying, you know, I've never really accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and I want to do that. I want to take this moment and this day to say, Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for me, and I recognize you're the only one who can fix the sin and the wrong in my life. So I surrender my life to you, and I do that today, and I want to turn and follow you and not my own way. If you're here today and that's your heart's cry and that's what you want to say to God, could you just raise your hand to him and say, that's me today, God. I'm here today for that. Anyone? Amen. Thank you. Yes. Amen. Father, we come to your presence today and we thank you so much for giving us your son as this precious gift who has come to break the power of sin and evil in our life so that we can be free to follow you in righteousness and holiness. Sin and evil and brokenness, it does so much damage in our world. But you want to change that in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you do that and that you help us to be that example to others so that they can turn and follow you. Thank you, Lord, for doing this work in us. We pray, Lord, that as every person goes from this place, we ask that your presence would go with them. And we ask, Lord, that they would be sensitive to your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Maybe we'll see you Christmas Eve if you're available. God bless you.